It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our weekly hunting and fishing and general outdoor show here on KETR. This week, I want to just visit with you a little bit, and we're going to talk about maybe making blackberry cobbler in a Dutch kettle on the campfire and a little bit later in the show. And first, I want to start off and talk about fishing a little bit. I've done quite a bit of visiting on the phone with my guide buddies around this past couple of days, and I'll give you kind of a rundown. I talked to Seth Vanover down at Lake Fork. You know, Seth has been our guest many, many times on past shows. And crappie are in somewhat of a transition. You know, they move from shallow water. I'm talking 1.5 to 3 feet. They move from that kind of water to intermediate depths to 10 to 12 foot, a couple of weeks ago down at Fork and on most lakes. But and then for a period there, a week or two back, they were pretty steady on brush at depths of 10 to 12 foot. But Seth Vanover, who's as good a crappie fisherman as I know, he guides down there at Fork, you know, told me that they just were not on the brush piles that at those intermediate depths. He's got a bunch of them that he, you know, has GPS coordinates on, and he can pinpoint the boat right over them, but the fish just simply weren't there. So what he did, and this might be a good tip for you, I know it's something I've never done, but I'm going to do it. The Texas Parks and Wildlife site, Texas Parks and Wildlife, you know, website, has coordinates of fish attractors, GPS coordinates of those fish attractors. And you can go to the website there and check them out, you know, and get the coordinates, plug those in your GPS and try some of those fish attractors. I mean that, you know, they're what you can do is follow your GPS to them because they're kind of situated in, you know, a lot of times open water. But Seth was telling me he, after fishing the known brush piles, several of them there at 10 to 12 foot, he followed the GPS to one of those Texas Parks and Wildlife fish attractors that, you know, underwater, of course, structures, artificial structures, if you will, and caught a bunch of, his clients caught a bunch of big crappie on live minnows at 9 feet. The water was only 9 foot deep there, so that's a pretty good tip for you. If you if you're not finding crappie where you usually find them, check that website out, Texas Parks and Wildlife, and go to the section there that gives the location of the fish attractors, and give that a try. Run a few of those down on your GPS and try fishing them. Over at Lake Tewakinee, guy David Hansen has been our guest regularly here. Oh, we've had him on the last few shows, at least for an interview, an update, I should say. The blue catfish bite is still going strong. I talked to David yesterday, and he sent some pictures, emailed me some pictures. They are catching the daylights out of those nice eating blue catfish that are, oh, you know, they're weigh from 2, 3, 4 pounds. I'd say they probably average about 3.5 pounds, something like that, up to bigger, of course. But, you know, not the big trophy blues that are caught in the wintertime. But what I like to refer to is the eater blues, which are biting real well right now. The key on those, if you have a consistent wind direction for 2 or 3 days that will push the shad, you know, the shad are spawning now up against the bank. You can find lots of shad. But on the windy sides of the lake, and especially around points, if you can get your boat positioned there, the key on the blue cat fishing is put out several rods, maybe 6 rods, depending on the size of your boat, maybe 8. Circle hooks work better than treble hooks for the blue catfish, for sure. And bait with thread fin shad, it's at times, if you're up on a windblown shore line and the wind's blowing 15 miles an hour, those shad will actually, I know if you've done this very much, you know what I'm talking about, but you'll actually be able to just walk along the shore and pick those baits up off the ground. I mean, they actually, they start jumping and then the wave action pushes them right up on there. But anyway, for blue catfish at Tewakinee, right now, the bite is very, very good on cut shad, circle hooks. Best really, if you have rod holders in your boat, just put your rod, six rods or so, make long casts away from the boat. I think that's important because it has a tendency to not to spook the fish so much. But long cast away from the boat and wait until that rod really bows over. And then, and that circle hook will twist right in that fish's mouth, usually right in the corner of a catfish's mouth. So that's a good tip for the blue catfish. The channel cat, David Hansen, told me that they're beginning to catch on an average trip, three or four people fishing, they're catching 10 or 12 channel catfish on these circle hooks. But if you're really wanting to target channels, of course, you want to switch to about number four treble hook and fish under a floater. That floater's a good indicator of a bite, you know, and you could even actually have your bait right on the bottom and just use that floater as an indicator of a fish picking the bait up. Very soon, though, the channel catfish spawn is going to be on. There are already some in shallow water. But in a matter of a few weeks, this little cold front that we had this week set the channel catfish back. It had to. But in a week or two, you can expect them by this time of year, normal weather conditions, they're usually up shallow spawning around the rocks and all. But at the lake, at Lake Tewakinee, which I consider has more channel catfish than any lake I know about, the willows are going to be the key. And you can get on the inside between the willow line, the line of willows, and the bank, and fish for these channel cat. Get in there and get your boat positioned down with two anchors, or even better if you can get it tied to a willow on either end there, where it will not blow around, and put out some sour grain. You'll be in business. You know, I mentioned to you, I wanted to talk to you about making a cobbler. This has been an awesome year for dewberries, but the dewberries where I'm at are just about played out. There's still a few on the vines, but blackberries are coming on. They're almost ripe now, the blackberries. Let's talk about making a Dutch kettle cobbler. You're talking about some good eating, and it's very simple to do. An old buddy of mine, Bob Hood, who was the outdoor writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, taught me to make this particular type of cobbler. And we made it in camps from Colorado to all over Texas. And we'd, on a turkey hunt, we'd often cook, Bob would, and he taught me how to do it, but cook up a blackberry cobbler, you know. Now, you can make this out of peaches, canned peaches, fresh peaches, these big plums that you can buy in a can. You know, canned plums make good cobbler. But take a Dutch kettle, and this, you need about one that has a recessed lid on it is a must. If you're going to cook it out on a campfire. And then what I'll do, I'll take a stick of butter and grease the bottom and the sides of the Dutch kettle, the inside, of course. And then I will buy two pie shells. You can get frozen pie shells really cheap anywhere. Take one of those pie shells, put it down in the bottom of your Dutch kettle. Now, layer in your berries, your fresh berries, blackberries, dewberries, whatever you're going to make your cobbler out of. Layer that in there, and, you know, you can judge how many people you're going to be cooking for, but usually a couple of big cans of peaches, that's a good barometer to use, or a scale. A couple of big cans of peaches make a nice cobbler. Or say probably if you're using berries, maybe a quart. You'd need at least a quart and a half of berries. Put your fruit in there. Say we're using berries right now. Put your berries in there and put about a cup and a half of sugar. Now, you want to be careful not to stir this around where you'll make mush out of your berries. But about a cup and a half of sugar in there with it. And then you'll need some butter. You've already got that stick of butter that you're greasing the bottom of it with there before you put your pie shells in, your one pie shell in the bottom. But, dice that butter up, put that all over it, and basically, now if you're using peaches, at this point, sprinkle it with a little cinnamon on top, But if you're using berries, you won't need. Some people put cinnamon in berry cobbler even, but you probably don't need it. Just the butter and the sugar. Now, that other, you had two pie shells frozen. So that other one, strip it up. Make little strips out of it with a very sharp knife. Cut it. And then layer in a crosshatch pattern the top of your cobbler. And then take a little more sugar and sprinkle it over that top of that the dough there before you even start cooking it. Okay, now put your lid on it. Remember, a Dutch kettle is going to have a recessed lid on the top. If you've got a campfire going, the key is to put more heat on the top, more coals on the top than you do on the bottom. Otherwise, you know, you could scorch it. Just say we're using charcoal briquettes. Now, if you're using a number 10 Dutch kettle, let's go, on the top, you'll want to put three more briquettes than the number. So if it's a number 10, let's put 13 briquettes, charcoal briquettes, on top. Now let's put three less on the bottom. It'd be about seven charcoal briquettes scattered, you know, position them all around the bottom. Now you may have to, raise your Dutch kettle up off with using probably three bricks. Get it up off the ground. Or if you have it elevated up on a, grill or something, then you don't have to worry. But you need your coals under it, but you need more coals on top. So if you decide you want to make this with coals out of the campfire, if you got a campfire going, just, kind of judge. Use that three more or three less charcoal briquette rule and put some coals on the top just out of the campfire with a shovel and on the bottom. Now, let that go for about 45 minutes. The only thing that you can do to mess this up is to get way too much heat. So use that little rule that I gave you, three more on top, three less underneath the Dutch kettle, and let that go 45 minutes. You will begin to get an aroma coming out of that about 30 minutes into the cooking, maybe 20. That'll make you want to pop that lid on that thing and start eating cobbler right away. But that is an awesome, awesome way to make any kind of fruit cobbler. And with all the berries we have right now, it's a good time to go out and pick you some fresh berries and make cobbler too. I was preparing for a story for my newspaper column for next week. And this past week, it's been kind of rainy, and I haven't actually been out doing any fishing or hunting to report to you. Did a bunch of writing. But I've been fascinated with these tiny homes. A tiny home is classified as a little home that's 399 square feet or less. And I found here at Alba, Diamond Park Model Home, Sean Ballard. I went and visited with Sean and his team out there at Alba, and looked at some of these little homes and did some research. I've talked to some other folks, and there's parks set up that only allow these little small homes, and they are well appointed. I was highly impressed in them. But our show next week, I'm going to try to get Sean Ballard with Diamond Park Homes there at Alba. I'm going to try to get him on next week and talk about the trend. Why these tiny homes have become so very popular, and that they have. Well, folks, we are just about out of time. I want to remind you you can listen to my radio show, catfishradio.com, online anytime, and I'm going to be right back here with you this time next week. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.